Welcome, everyone. Great to be back in the Sunday morning Bible. Thank you all for coming out. Very excited to be getting back to some of the things that we've done here at the church and to be able to really take the deeper dive into God's Word. Let me open us in prayer, then kind of I'll set the stage for what we're doing and what we'll be doing over the next few weeks. Our Father, we come before you as your grateful people. We are thankful for your many blessings, your grace that's bestowed upon us, your loving kindness that you have shown to us, especially through the salvation through your Son, that we can come into your presence, come right into the very throne room, and you bid us to come. And Lord, we praise you that you are a God of such love, and we do thank you for all the ways that you have provided for us. Lord, I pray for our time here this morning, that as we look into your word, that it would cause each of us to reflect, to pursue a deeper understanding and relationship and walk with you. We thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'll start out. So first of all, we are restarting Sunday morning Bible study. Obviously, we're here. There's a handout back there, which is more of an article, which we'll sort of talk through. But you can certainly take that home and read it. I think it'll really sort of enhance the things that we're talking about here. But we wanted to get back into the swing of things, get back to normal. And we were thinking of, okay, where are we? What are we going to teach? And I don't know, Thanksgiving seemed to be a good topic, right? Just sort of came to us, a moment of inspiration. No, but as we consider this season where hopefully no one has yet put up their Christmas decorations. Are we still in the Thanksgiving decorations? You know, don't mean to offend anyone there, right? That's true. We have put a few up. But in this time when even the world looks to giving thanks, right? What does it mean? We want to look at what does God call us to? And so we're going to do over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Not the holiday, although it'll come up from time to time, but what God says about giving thanks. And I think we'll see that giving thanks, I really credit Jess with this insight and some others that have been very helpful, that giving thanks is, we sort of think of it as an after the fact, maybe. I should maybe only speak for myself. But something good happens, so I go and I give thanks. In a way, that's what the holiday is all about, right? From the first pilgrims through, you know, all the other stories that we hear about around the holiday, it's always, oh, we're thankful for. And that's good and proper. But Thanksgiving is so much more than that. And one of the things that Jess has really helped me with, and Jack and a few others, is a heart of Thanksgiving can be such a powerful, ultimately really a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare. That so much of what we find ourselves in, whether it's a difficult situation or find ourselves questioning God or falling into things like depression and bitterness, so much of it comes from a lack of thankfulness. And that's not the first place I would necessarily go to. Even sins that we think about as very rooted in the flesh or rooted in other things, a lot of times are rooted in a lack of thankfulness. We're not thankful to God for what he's given us. We're not thankful to perhaps a spouse or parents or someone else that we feel owes us something instead of being thankful for how God has used that person in our lives. So it's really a good way to keep us focused is to really think about Thanksgiving, not just once a year, not just as a reaction to some positive thing that may come up in our lives, but a mindset, a heart attitude that really governs our whole life. And it's amazing how much happier we'll be. When you think about when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, and he was speaking all those times, blessed is or blessed are, all those things. That word blessed, the original Greek word for that is really happy. It means happy. It's if you want to be happy, what should you do? You should basically be meek. You should be seeking all these things. And ultimately, we should be thankful And it's amazing how some of the people who maybe outwardly seem to have the least to be thankful for, but they have a heart of thankfulness, are some of the happiest people you'll meet. And some of the people who have outwardly the most to be thankful for, but have never cultivated a heart of thankfulness, are some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet. So I want to encourage us with that. That's what we're talking about over the next few weeks. I hope it'll be helpful. I hope it'll be encouraging. And I want to start out, share something with you. Anyone who's taught a lesson, preached a sermon, thinking about how to get things started, you think of an illustration, right? And I'm going to share with you an illustration, partly to let you know what's happening and partly just to share that this is real life. Last night, as we were preparing, frankly, as I was finishing preparations, I got a call. Our daughter Miriam was coming home, and she was in a car accident. And she is okay. As far as we can tell, she's not hurt. Hopefully she's watching. Good morning, Miriam, online. But it looks like her car was wrecked. She was really shaken up by it, you know, kind of emotionally shaken up. In that moment, what's the first thought? Obviously, there's concern. We went and we checked on her, made sure she was okay. But is the first thought to give thanks? What does the Bible say? Give thanks in all circumstances. Can we give thanks? Well, as we looked at the situation, as we assessed it, as we got through the process, we're thankful. Obviously, we're thankful that God protected her through that and protected her to the point that it seems she's not suffered physical harm. We're thankful for many of the details. There was a bystander who came by and moved her car out of the way for her to get her out of the intersection, and then stayed. He even bought bottles of water for her and for the other guy, and I think he even bought an umbrella because it was raining. And I mean, this was just a good Samaritan who happened to be there. We're thankful for the police officer that came. At the end of the situation, he looked her in the eye and he said, after kind of explaining what had happened and what needs to be done in insurance, he said, you need to get back out there. Get back on the horse. Gave her a real kind of a pep talk. We're thankful that he was the officer that was there that last night. There's so much to be thankful for, right? Now, obviously, we're sad. For those of you who know Miriam, she loves that car. She worked so hard for it. She bought it with her own money. She loves that car. There's sadness. It's difficult. But there's also thanksgiving because God is still faithful. God is still working. So when we think about these things, and we're going to talk in a couple weeks, we're going to do one lesson focusing on how to give thanks when it's hard. But I didn't think, what the illustration would be 2 or 3 weeks from now. We got it a few hours ago. But we are thankful. And we are thankful for all that God does for us. So I offer that to you partly as by way of, if I'm a little bit out of sorts this morning, it's not just the jitters, right? It's not first time back jitters so much, although that's a little bit. Some of it is just kind of getting back in the swing. But we can give thanks in all things. And you'll see I've titled this series "Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving." Which many of you hopefully recognize is from Psalm 100, verse 4. We also have several songs that we sing, right? Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving appears several times. One of the things I'm going to encourage all of us to do and try to be faithful myself in is to try to memorize Psalm 100. This is the entire psalm. It's got 5 verses. We have roughly 5 weeks between now and Thanksgiving. So I'm going to try, and I'm hoping that you all may decide to do this with us. Can we memorize this psalm? And then by Thanksgiving Day, when you're having your turkey, before you fall asleep and take your nap or whatever you're doing, can we think of this psalm? And when we think of Thanksgiving, we are genuinely thankful as God would have us be. So how about we do the first verse together? Okay, we'll practice this one together. It's the shortest verse of the 5. Okay, so the first week is going to be easy. Work on this one. But I'm going to read the whole psalm, and then let's read the first verse together afterwards. So let's read the whole psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the earth with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. I was reading up there. I don't already have it memorized, so just in case any of you didn't know, I'm not trying to show off. If we can have that attitude, if we can memorize these five verses so that when things come up, when that difficult moment happens, or that joyful moment happens, when you're with family or celebrating or whatever you're doing, can we have that attitude? Let's read verse 1 together, okay? This is, again, very simple. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Okay? Next week, I think we can all say that one together, right? Okay? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Okay. We're going to be talking a lot about this psalm today, but I want to do some background here. First, let's talk about the biblical terms. What are the biblical words that are used in when God talks about giving thanks? I have a few here in Hebrew. I'm going to really, do we have any Hebrew out here, any speakers? Then you don't know how bad my pronunciation is. Good. Okay. Hebrew, the word todah is the noun form. So in Psalm 100, verse 4, this is enter his gates with thanksgiving. So it's the noun form of it. Todah means confession, praise, thank offering, sacrifice of thanksgiving. Okay, so when they would come into the temple and give a sacrifice of thanksgiving, an offering, a thank offering, that's this word, todah. It's joined with the preposition with in Psalm 100, verse 4. So if you're doing a concordance, it'll have the preposition attached to it. And I think it's et todah or bet todah. But that's thanksgiving. The verb form is yadah, which means to give thanks, laud or praise or confess, which is interesting. Confess not, I mean, it is confess our sins, but it's confess the name of God. Okay, so when we think of confess, we say with God who he is, extol his character, speak it to others. That's praise. And what's interesting is you see how closely thanksgiving and praise are connected here? In fact, these words are often translated one or the other depending on the context in the Old Testament. All the way through the Psalms. The same word in one psalm might be translated thanksgiving, and the next psalm it might be translated praise because of how the writer writes it. And they're very closely linked. And think about this. This sort of makes sense. Imagine you're in a business meeting, back when we used to do business meetings, right? And you have people around in the room or a table, or it could be a group here at church or a home group meeting or wherever it may be. You've got people together. And someone says, oh, you know what? I just want to take a moment to really thank Joe. Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it. What's everyone's reaction? What did Joe do, right? Why are you saying thank you to Joe? I mean, what? So, you know what? We had this deadline, and Joe stayed late, and he got it done, and we made the sale, and it was great. What did you just do? You praised Joe. In the human relationship, you praised him by thanking him. So these two are so closely linked that the Hebrew words are interchangeable in terms of giving thanks and praising. So we want to think about that when we think about how we praise God and give him thanks. Now in the New Testament, the Greek word is eucharistia, or the verb is eucharisto. Does that sound like anything?
Eucharist.
Eucharist, right? Anyone from a Catholic or Episcopal background? The Eucharist, right? So it's in that context, it's very narrowly talking about the Lord's table. And it is the word used, as you see here in Luke 22, verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So that's where the word Eucharist came into the through Latin into the English, of giving thanks through the taking of the Lord's table. We don't refer to it as the Eucharist. We will be celebrating this morning the Lord's table, and we are thankful for that. But the meaning of the word itself in Greek comes from a prefix, eu, which means good, and charis, which is usually translated grace, but can also mean favor. So it's good favor, showing good favor to somebody. That is the Eucharist. That is the giving of thanks. That's what a heart of thanksgiving is all about, is giving thanks to somebody else, and primarily, of course, giving thanks to the Lord. So why do we give thanks? Why should we be thankful? I just gave a hint to one answer here. Why do you think we should be thankful?
It's a command.
It's a command, I'm sorry. We're told to, absolutely. Right? It is a command. One of the commentaries I was reading this week said that when you take, because those Hebrew words are so closely linked, it's hard to, you know, pull them back apart. But when you take that, those words of the yoda or toda, and you say, and you look at those as commands, that command, give thanks and or praise, is the most repeated command in the Old Testament. More than anything else, God tells us, give thanks. And that part of that is praising him, because you're praising him when you thank him. But it is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a life hack for anyone who's the younger crowd out there, right? It's not a something that you know, is going to make your life better. This is going to give you fulfillment. All those things may be true, but they're true in the same sense that all these things will be added unto you when you seek first the kingdom of God. All right, so this is a command. This is something we're told to do. We're commanded to do. Let's look at some verses that highlight this. I skipped one here. Okay, a lot of these are going to be from the Psalms, of course. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. So you see there again, give thanks to the Lord. That's the command right up front. First verse of the psalm, calling upon his name. And in doing so, you're making known his deeds among the peoples. Again, you're praising him through that. 1 Chronicles 16, this is after David has brought the ark into the tabernacle, and it's parallel to Psalm 105. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, David says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." You see, again, he gives a reason for the thankfulness. For he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. It's not grit your teeth and do it anyway. It's not a Pollyanna, ignore the reality of the situation. It's recognizing God's character and giving thanks for that. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. So our thanksgiving can take many forms. It can be in the form of a song, right? It can be a song in our heart. It should hopefully also be a song on our lips. It can be a song when you're alone in your car. It's a song when you're together in church with brothers and sisters, or anywhere. But he's saying, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Again, not a suggestion. This is a direct command. And then Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Again, the law called for the Israelites to bring a sacrifice. When they had a recognizable blessing, tangible blessing of God, they were to come back and give thanks through a sacrifice at the temple. That's important to remember. But it's not just an Old Testament command, right? How about in the New Testament? Philippians 4. Anyone ever feel anxious? Ever have that feeling come up of anxiety and being nervous, anxious about something? What does Paul tell us? Right? Be anxious for nothing. Now, many of us probably have that verse memorized, and the first thought we think of is, what? We're going to God, right? We're bringing our supplications before God. But let's not miss that little two-word phrase in the middle. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, of course, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will come over us and will bring us comfort. So when we're anxious, it's not just I'm going to go to God. It's I'm going to God with thanksgiving. Do we go to our, if this verse is applying to us because we're anxious about something, are we naturally going to be feeling thankful in that moment? Most likely. If there's something that we're anxious about, it's something that's probably not a happy, prosperous moment. It's either a moment of concern or fear or circumstances. It's a time that you might not, to take the worldly example, you're not giving thanks. You're worried, you're concerned. And yet, Paul tells us, make those prayers known, but do it with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 2, he says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Right? When we're praying for our leaders. We're praying for the culture around us. We're praying for whoever it may be. That may be one of those times we like those imprecatory psalms, right? And say, okay, we're going to pray these types of prayers. It shouldn't be. But he's saying, with all those things, with thanksgivings. Right? Are we thankful? While we're praying for those leaders, for all men, for the lost, maybe a lost family member or neighbor, but are we praying with thanksgiving to God for that person? How about Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4? This is an important one where I sort of started talking about how thanksgiving can be a great weapon against immorality, against sin that creeps in so easily. And what does Paul say? But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Put all that away. Right? Put away the immorality. Put away the filthiness and the talk and all that. That's not fitting. What should you do instead? Just going to stay quiet. No? He says, but rather giving of thanks. Thanksgiving comes in, and it is the way to really combat that pull of sin that draws us away. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, this is really one of the most important verses to keep in mind, because Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Right? If there's a difficult circumstance, if there's something going on, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's will for you is? Today, are you trying to figure out, I need to know God's will. I just don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm looking for something. Paul tells us one thing you can know for certain. God's will is to give thanks to him for all he's done for us. So those are the commands. We also, happily, we have thankfulness modeled. We see this throughout Scripture. We see the people of God giving thanks in all sorts of circumstances. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Right? At that moment, the psalmist isn't commanding you to do it. He's saying, I'm going to do it. And he's modeling this for us so we can see this, and that should be our focus as well. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him. Right? So, another one of the commentators I read talked about how, this is sort of a more modern take on it, the word thank or thanks, we say it too quickly. Right? You're walking down the street, hey, thanks, you know. We don't let these words slip through and miss them, because God has put them right there in the center of it. So when we think about that, the Lord is my strength and my shield, right? He is our power. He is our strength. He is our protector. My heart trusts in him. It is a wonderful verse, but let's not forget that it ends with, and with my song I will thank him. We're thankful to God. How about Psalm 69:30? I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. That sounds like a praise song, right? We'd be raising our hands and singing a praise song right now. Let me read you a couple verses around it, because this is from Psalm 69. The title of Psalm 69, it is a Psalm of David. It says, a cry of distress and imprecation on adversaries. And he's going through all the things that his adversaries have done to him. And verse 29 of Psalm 69 is, "But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high." And then verse 30, "I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving." So he's saying, I'm afflicted and in pain. And what's my reaction? I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. In the midst of that pain, in the midst of that difficulty, I will give thanks. That's what David says. And God allowed that to be recorded and given to us. When we're in the midst of pain, when we're suffering, it's a time to be thankful. Last one here, an interesting example is Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, we have the story of Darius, the king, whose officials convinced him to pass the law that no one could pray to anyone except for the king. And Daniel knew what he had to do. He knew he could not bow to the king, and he could not stop praying to the one true Lord, the one true God. So he went, and not only did he continue, but it tells us in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem." So he's doing this publicly. The windows are open. He's not hiding in a corner. He's going on as he always has. "And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously." If you were in a situation where it was suddenly illegal to pray, you had been taken into captivity as a young man, lived your whole life under the rule of another nation who treated your people very cruelly, and you just had this law passed. You were one of the advisors, but you didn't have a say in it. This law was passed making it illegal to pray. Hopefully some of us would get fired up and we'd keep praying. But would we give thanks? Right? Would that be part of our prayer? Or would it be all about maybe praying, this is so unfair, God change his heart, God keep me strong, pray you'd protect me, all good things. But would we be giving thanks in the midst of it? Very challenging to think about what is modeled for us in Scripture. All right, then in the New Testament, we have many others. Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, many of Paul's letters start out with a similar type of address to these churches. He says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers." When he's thinking about these churches, he's giving thanks. "I'm thankful for you." And then he goes on to say why and all that. In Romans 1, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." And then Ephesians 5:20, this one is very important, and I think it's worth reading. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, backing up a little bit, he's talking in verse 15 of Ephesians 5. He says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand that what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Right? So be filled with the Spirit. There's the command. And then verses 19 and 20 explain how to fulfill that command. He says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." So what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit? Well, among other things, a very prominent part of that says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So it's very central to being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Now, what are the consequences of not giving thanks? This is another one that is easy to miss in some of these verses and some of these places where thanksgiving is either mentioned or addressed. Romans 1. Okay, if we talked about Romans 1, and we talked about the passage where Paul is talking about how the world just is given over to sin, right? And the world is pursuing this sin, turning their back on God. What's at the heart of what is going on there? What are they doing? Well, when we look at the passage, we see that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Right? We probably feel like we could turn on the news and talk about this. I mean, this has been happening throughout all of history, that men are suppressing the truth and pursuing ungodliness. And nothing new here, right? But what happened? He goes on to talk about, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. All these people are without excuse. They know what God has said. God has put it even in their hearts to be able to see. When you look outside and you see the creation, you should know that there is a God. In verse 21, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Of course, that's important. They did not honor him as God. The world, the unbeliever, cannot honor God as God because he is on his own throne of his own life. And God he has not humbled himself before God. So he's not honored him as God. But Paul says, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Isn't that interesting? Would you have put "or give thanks" in that sentence if you were writing it? I don't think I would. I think I would have focused on how they didn't honor God, and God is great and mighty and glorious, and they've ignored him and they've denied him, and look what it's done. But Paul says, or give thanks. He makes thankfulness a part of the equation as to why they weren't honoring him as God. They weren't seeing the beauty of creation. They weren't seeing, recognizing when the rain falls, when it brings crops, when we take every breath, we have something to be thankful for. Everyone does, the world does, the just and the unjust. But those who do not know him do not honor him and do not give thanks. And of course, they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. And then it goes on to talk about all the downgrade that happens where men just continue to pursue those things. Now, they can only truly give thanks by turning to the Lord. Just simply saying thank you isn't enough, ultimately. But it's interesting that it's part of the equation as to why people go the way they do. So, with the time we have left, what I want to do is go through 8 reasons why we should be thankful. This is expanded in the handout that I gave you. Liberally borrowed from John MacArthur, so I'm giving credit up front. So hopefully you all can read the handout. The article goes more, but we're going to touch the highlights in here because I think these are important things. And some of them we've touched on, want to continue. So first of all, the very first reason is that God commands it. Right? We've talked about how this is a command. This is an interesting quote that MacArthur had from Johnny Erickson Tada. If you're familiar with her story, she was paralyzed as a teenager and has lived her life now 50 or so years as a quadriplegic. But she is faithful to preach the gospel. She's proclaimed it around the world. She has shown such faithfulness to God for his grace and has pointed so many people to the truth of his message and to the joy that you can have in loving God in whatever circumstance you're given, even though her circumstance is very difficult. And she said this, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful, it's a matter of obedience, right? How often for us is giving thanks a matter of how we feel? Right? We feel like giving thanks. Or maybe right now I don't feel like giving thanks, so I'm not going to do it. If Johnny Erickson Tada can tell us, it's not a matter of feeling, it's a command. We give thanks because God commands us to give thanks and tells us to give thanks. None of us have had her life or experience. Anything that we have is we have blessings from God. There is no reason not to. But that was a very powerful to me to read that and recognize that someone who her circumstances would not give her a feeling of thankfulness, but she's recognizing it is a matter of obedience. And I guarantee you, her feelings are genuine. As she has practiced this through her life, they are genuine thankfulness, not merely an outward appearance. The second point here, thankfulness acknowledges God's sovereignty. Okay? With a thankful heart, you can say in the midst of anything, God be praised. Right? There's plenty of things that happen to us. MacArthur talks about this in the handout, and he mentions that the grateful Christian remembers that suffering perfects, confirms, strengthens, and establishes him. 1 Peter 5:10. God wills that kind of thankfulness. That when we are thankful, even in the middle of all these things, but we remember that God is working through them, then we will see God at work, and we will be conformed into the image of his Son. And that's part of being thankful. God judges ingratitude, right? So the opposite of thankfulness would be ingratitude. And God judges that. We don't want to beat around the bush here. That's why this isn't just an encouragement. The Bible encourages us many times to give thanks, but it also commands us. And when we do not give thanks, it's clear that God judges that. Now, that may sound like... I don't know. It may sound obvious, perhaps, but it's important to think about that. How important it is to be thankful. You see here this statement. He says, "Ingratitude is the very essence of an unregenerate heart, ranking among the most intolerable sins in Scripture." Would you have put that at the top of intolerable list sins in Scripture? And yet he says, ingratitude is right at the top. And then he goes through Romans 1, which we just read. It says, because man in his pride fails to honor and glorify God as creator, he also refuses to thank him for his gracious provision. Ingratitude betrays unbelief, and both sins bring about God's judgment. And then we see this, although God is the source of every good thing that men possess, giving life, breath, rain, sunshine, and other natural blessings to the just and unjust alike, the natural man refuses to thank him. In his fallen mind, to thank God is to acknowledge his own obligation to worship him. Right? The natural man knows if I thank God, okay, our culture is trying to turn this around, by the way. This is an important point. We can thank God if we define God on our own terms and just thank him and have a celebration together and give thanks. But ultimately, the God of the Bible, we have to recognize that if we thank him, the heart of the natural man understands to thank him means I'm obligated also to worship him. Remember all the way back to the Hebrew words being so closely linked. Giving thanks without praise, without honor, really is no thanksgiving at all. So the natural man resists this because to give thanks is to recognize that obligation. And the natural man does not want to do that. Other reasons. Thankfulness glorifies God. Okay, this is part of what brings glory to God, especially in the corporate thanksgiving, when we as a church give thanks. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. So he's talking to the church. The church is together. The church is essentially proclaiming the gospel. They're spreading the gospel. They're doing all this and bringing glory to God through this heart of thankfulness. And it's bringing about others, causing others to give thanks. It's all tied together. He talks about the story in Luke 17 where the 10 lepers were healed. You remember this? The 10 lepers were healed, and they were told to go and present themselves in the temple, present themselves to the priest. And they did, and Christ healed all 10. But what happened? How many of them came back? Only one, right? Only one came back and gave thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Luke made sure to point that out, too. So he says, notice how carefully Luke defines the means through which the Samaritan glorified God. He fell at the feet of Christ, giving thanks to him. God's glory and thanksgiving are inseparable. Okay. So that Samaritan, that leper who was healed, went back to Jesus, fell at his feet, and thanked him. And Luke tells us he worshiped God, and that's how he did it, by giving thanks. A thankful heart recognizes God's goodness. We recognize this by gratefully receiving and enjoying God's gifts. Believers fulfill the noble intention for which they were created. This one's interesting to think about. 1 Timothy 4 says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." So there were things, there are times that Christians can fall into this, can be a form of legalism, where we take good things God has given us, has created, and we say they're not good. Well, so this is the opposite side. The ingratitude is not recognizing the good thing God has given us and not calling it good. But let's remember, it's not about that thing, right? If it's food and someone says, you shouldn't touch that food is unclean, it'll make you unclean. Is the issue really about food? Was the issue ever really about food? It's about the God who has given us that food, right? And if what he has given us, he is called clean, but we're going to say, no, it's unclean, what are we doing? We're actually questioning God's character. It's a small way, but it's important to recognize that, as opposed to recognizing his goodness and that all things he has given us, even those things that maybe we didn't ask for, those gifts that we didn't, the gifts that God gives, sometimes we think, can I get a return policy on that? Maybe I didn't want that particular gift. But if that's what God has given us, he is good, and we should give thanks. And if we're not giving thanks, then we're questioning whether he is good. It's important to bring those two together. An unthankful heart characterizes fallen humanity, right? We've talked about this, that fallen humanity, the natural man, simply will not be grateful, will not be thankful. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "Realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers." Now, most of you, if you remember this list, this is where we think, this is the worst of the worst. And what does he say? Disobedient to parents, right? Throws that one in there. We're all thinking, those of us who are parents are like, yeah, that's right. But you think, okay, among all these terrible sins, he's saying disobedient to parents. What's the very next one? Ungrateful, unholy. And he goes on. But he's saying, these are terrible things. These are the signs of what's happening when the natural man is left to himself. And we can fall into it when we are not focusing on walking in the Spirit. We can be lovers of self. We can become lovers of money. Not ultimately, but we can have those tendencies. And we should be careful not to be boastful, not to be arrogant, and therefore not to be ungrateful. Right? So that is acting like the world when we are ungrateful. And it's really important. He says it shouldn't surprise us. Well, let me back up in this. He says the closer we get to the second coming of Christ, the more wicked men become. The more wicked they become, the more thankless they are. It shouldn't surprise us to see unsaved people going through life complaining, bitter, angry, thankless, without any gratitude, expecting to receive everything good that comes their way, and exploding when they don't, receive it. Yeah. Yeah, we see this. This is the world, right? We expect such thankless expressions from unbelievers, but they have no place in the lives of God's people. That whole sense of that bitterness, that angry, thankless, without gratitude, expecting to receive everything good that comes their way, that's the world. That's the world. And the lack of thankfulness is right at the heart of where that's coming from. Okay, two more, and then we're done here. Thanksgiving is a common part of worship. Right, once again, it's tied to worship. It was all the way back in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law, in the coming before God and bringing a thank offering, to give thanksgiving to God and bring a physical offering was always a symbol of our hearts coming and giving thanks to God. That should be a focus. That's part of worship. And he calls us to have that. again, this is Psalm 100, verse 4. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." When we're entering his gates, we're coming into his presence. We are coming to worship. And we should do it with thanksgiving. You have this quote here from William Hendrickson, who said, who said, when a person prays without thanksgiving, he has clipped the wings of prayer so that it cannot rise. Okay? When you're praying, but you're not thankful, what's happening in those prayers? Is our heart truly aligned with God at that moment? So when we enter God's presence harboring ingratitude, our worship is unacceptable. I mean, God says that pretty clearly. Not only are we rejecting his command in Psalm 100, verse 4, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, but we've forgotten his character because we haven't focused on who he is and what he's done for us. We see this all throughout the New Testament as well. Paul often reminds believers to just express your thankfulness, and that will distinguish us from those around us. That's back to Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4, where he says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So again, when we come together, this should be true in our own lives regardless, but when we come together especially, we should be giving thanks and not pursuing these worldly patterns. And the last point, which to me is the most important point, a thankful heart reflects godly humility, right? Can you be thankful without being humble? I mean, I guess you can, but you're probably not really meaning it, right? How many times have you heard, this is one of my favorite phrases, someone, you know, wins an award or, you know, is named the MVP of the Super Bowl or something, and he comes up, he says, I'm just so humbled to get this award. And I'm thinking, no, you are not. I'm not seeing humbled there. I'm seeing, now some of them are, I don't mean to say every last time, but so often it's just, you know, we say thanks, right? I may give thanks because, you know, God has provided. God has given me this thing that I need. I mean, but I did go to work every day, and I did try. You see how you start to work yourself in to the equation? But if we're humble, we recognize that everything that we have is from God and is of his grace. And MacArthur talks about how the occasion of your thanksgiving, in other words, what you're giving thanks for, or the circumstances, as well as what you give thanks for, says a lot about your spiritual maturity. He goes on to say, the Bible tells us to be thankful for all people and all things. Have you ever thought what a list of all things includes? Want to make that list? Be thankful for all things. He offers a few. He says, corrupt governments, unjust employers, bitter spouses, severe illnesses, economic collapses, all things. That's what God calls us to do. He says, only one kind of person is able to express gratitude for those things, and that's a humble Christian. Believers know they don't deserve anything from God but judgment, so like the early church, they can sing his hymns while they suffer in prison, or rejoice when they're persecuted for the name of Christ. Humble Christians view every bitter thing as sweet and rejoice always. So the closing point here is remembering our thankfulness comes from a heart of humility. If we still maintain that pride that still sits in there, then we can give thanks with our lips. We can speak thanks as we're going through. We can do this next month when we're having the Thanksgiving celebration. We can do it in church. We can do it anywhere. But if we're speaking it with our lips and yet our hearts are still prideful, then are we really giving thanks? Are we giving an opportunity to sort of promote what we did? But the humble heart rejoices with God, rejoices in God, and rejoices in all that he's done for us. And that is a heart of thankfulness. So I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. Thank you for coming out this first time back. Next week, Ted is going to be leading, and then I'll be back in 2 weeks. So we look forward to seeing you then. Keep working on those verses. Remember? Oh, yeah. That's our last slide. Psalm 100. Okay, so we're going to try to memorize that together. 5 verses, 5 weeks. Let's see if we can get that done. Okay? All right, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we do come into your presence with thanksgiving. We enter your gates celebrating and thanking you We pray that you would give us hearts that are thankful, that are grateful for all that you've done. We recognize your love, your mercy upon us, your grace shown through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, even in those times where difficulties come or we have hard circumstances, we know that you are sovereign, and we recognize that you are working all things together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just remind us of that when we're tempted to ingratitude, when we're tempted to pride, we're tempted to think that we have done things of our own accomplishment. Lord, we recognize that all things are from your hand. Every gift comes down from you, and we thank you for that. We do pray that you'll be with us the rest of this morning. We pray for the service as we come together and proclaim your word, sing your praises in songs, and the preaching of the word, that everything we do would be bringing glory to you. We do thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.